It's good to be here, and it's great to see a full church in the summertime. Yeah. I saw Ron in the parking lot at Tim Hortons today. He was on his motorcycle, and I guess Haiti was there, too. And I thought, they're not going to be in a church. And there they are. How good. How great.
The Lord has his way of convicting us, doesn't he?
Of drawing us.
I think it's called, yes, the Holy Spirit drawing us.
Yes,
drawing
us. That's drawing.
Good morning, all. It's great to be here. I feel I need to give a brief explanation. Some of you may have seen Jan and I dancing up here at the front, and it was not your typical Christianese hop two-step dance. We're from the past, as you probably
He's
can
really
tell.
He's really from the past. I'm more present than he is,
I'm
actually.
Pastor than she is. And so we grew up and dated in a time when rock and roll was just in its heyday. And I'm talking about the original rock and roll.
Yeah.
And so we danced a lot. When we got saved, it's like the Lord took us out of that kind of an environment. And for years, I in particular couldn't go back. I couldn't go back there. And so we didn't dance for about 25 years.
Not even in private.
Not even in private.
We did the little hop.
Yeah,
we
went to church and, you know. And then a few years ago, I started feeling released to be able to do that. And so there were a few occasions when we were at a wedding and there was some music and we would get up and dance. And this morning, just singing that song, I Am Free to Dance, I thought, yes, I am free to dance. Yeah. And I was just hopping around.
I must tell you, he has never done that in church before.
I've never done that in church before.
I mean, not
taking
that.
My wife's hand and just spontaneously
dance. I was kind of shocked, actually. I thought, whoa,
kinda,
you are
like,
free.
So
that's a good thing.
If I've offended anyone in so doing, talk to Andrew, because I'm not going
to
apologize for God setting me free. Our theme this morning is lighten our load, and maybe that's what's just happened to me this morning. My load has been lightened somewhat. We're centering around a scripture that I'm sure you're all familiar with, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, this is an admonition to us that only Jesus can give. Before Jesus did his work on the cross, the people were under this great burden. They were heavy laden. They had the law and the Pharisees, which just put more and more weight on them. Right? The Roman Empire had conquered them, and that put more and more weight on them. And Jesus comes along and says, "Come, come to me, and I will give you rest."
You know, we live in a country. Well, I don't live in this country all the time, because I live in Mexico. For much of when you're in winter, I'm in Mexico, suffering for the sake of the gospel. But, you know, our season is short here, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I just think, has summer come yet? I guess it is coming this week, is it? Yeah, or last week it started coming. Anyways, like, our season is short, and we talk about our vacations, right? Talk about going to camp, going camping, going on the motorbike or motorcycle or whatever. And you know, we'll get rested from our work. We'll find our rest. Well, you know what? You could be on vacation 365 days of the year, If you do not have Jesus, you will not have rest.
That's right.
It is only the accomplished work of Jesus Christ and the empowering of His Holy Spirit that will ever give us rest. That's a given for us, right? Okay, I have Jesus, I have the rest. But then what does He say? He says, take. There's a verb there. Take my yoke and learn of me. So there's something that we have to do to maintain that rest. And if we're honest, okay, who wants to be honest today? Mm. If you don't put up in your hand, you're in trouble. I'm not putting a burden on you. if we are honest, we can probably say that many times, maybe even throughout a day, it feels heavy. And it feels like we're under a burden. And we really notice that because we're doing a lot of counseling. And we counsel a lot of Spanish folks, a lot of Mexican people, or a lot of Colombian people. But we also are doing a lot of counseling now that we're in Winnipeg. We're doing a lot of counseling here. And we're counseling clergymen and leaders and young people and whatever. And we find that many people are carrying burdens. They're heavy laden. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is that not what He says? That's what He says. So that's a promise. So we're wondering, why is that? You know what? We should be the most free people, the lightest people, the most emotionally stable, the most socially stable. We should be the most together people in the world, should we not?
Right.
And I don't say we're perfect, because Doug certainly isn't. Nor am I.
I'm you know, the oldest, I'm the most imperfect. Talk about putting burdens on. No wonder I'm feeling weighed
down
here.
But, you know, we are in a process, right? And so if we are feeling heavy laden and burdened, we have to take a look at what's going on in our life. What is it? Because this is a promise of Jesus. He didn't die for us to be heavy laden. He didn't die for us to be constantly under the law. He didn't die so that we walk in duty or form. He died so that we can be free. We are free. Right.
See, we come into contact with a lot of young people that say, it's too hard. I see my parents, I see the church, it's too hard. They see people under this burden, walking heavily. And they go, I don't want that. That's too hard to do. I want to be free and light and stuff. They don't see that the yoke of Jesus is not a heavy thing, because their perception from what they've seen is that we present to them this image of being burdened. We don't have that lightness that Jesus promised. So we began to look at why. Why does that happen? Why does it happen to us? As we've grown older together.
Yeah, say that.
Both growing older. I just want to correct that, because Jan often leaves the impression that I am growing older and she's staying the same. She just looks the same, that's all.
Yeah.
Few points there for me, right?
Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Now, I'm not a runner. You could probably gather that from this physique. I'm more of the... No. You can gather I'm not a runner. But if you were to ask me to run around this area here, I could do that. I might gasp a little bit at the end. But when I put on this backpack, and it's heavy, You probably haven't noticed it because I can just sort of stand up here. So, if I was to run around with a backpack, Ron would have to have the oxygen for me at this corner when I got back. Right? Because the heavy things that we carry restrict our movement, right? You don't move as easily and as freely when you're carrying a heavy load. When you get rid of the load, you're more free to move. You can move more easily, more quickly, right? It's just the way we are as people. Well, we've been sort of examining and saying, what are the things that we carry that pull us down as Christians? What kinds of things are in our backpack that prevent us from being that light, easily moving Christian person?
Oh, these are old. These shouldn't be carried around. This is the way I used to run. You can see they've got lots of tread on these things. So I don't need those anymore. That's how I used to run in the past. Like, these things are years and years old. Lots of miles on these things. You know, I want a fresh anointing. So I'm going to see what else is in here. Oh, my goodness. Look at this sack under here. I should have the one with no hands. Okay. What have we got in here?
I don't know, but I'm feeling lighter already.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah. You know what I think what happens to a lot of us? We start walking by our feelings. Now, here's my fuzzy slippers. I keep them out of the lake. You know, like, they're years old. You can see they're ancient. But these are my slippers. And I like to wear them because they feel good. I wear them for really no other reason. They're not comfortable. Like, they don't have any arch supports, which I'm kind of starting to need.
Because she's getting older.
So they're fuzzy, you know. They're just like, they're comfortable. They're fuzzy. I think what happens to us when we're... I'm talking about Christians here. I'm talking about the body. We start to walk by our feelings. We start to walk by what feels good instead of the truth. Instead of walking how we know where to walk, we walk by our feelings. This past week, we had some of the grandkids out, and we had our oldest granddaughter out alone. I won't say her name just in case she's embarrassed by this. But she's 12 going on 15, kind of. And so she's pubescent. She's changing. Her body is changing. Her shape is changing. She's emotionally changing. Her hormones are changing. And I said to her, you know what, honey? Nana is kind of in the same place as you are.
Because she's getting older.
I said, you know, you're just beginning this journey with the hormones and all this development. And I'm at the other end. And she goes, really, Nana? I said, you know what? I'm changing in my body too. I hate to admit that, but I am. And you know what? I like, emotionally, I'm changing. I don't know what it is. Every once in a while, like, I could just smack Grandpa. And she goes, really? You know, sometimes, I don't know, I just feel annoyed. Sometimes I can burst into tears. I don't even know why. And she said, really, Nana? And I said, yes, but you know what? I don't go by my emotions. Because that's the fuzzy slippers. And as soon as we start going by our emotions, it gets heavy. Mm-hmm. As a wife or as a husband, you start walking emotionally with your spouse or your children or the people you work with, you're going to have issues. It's going to be heavy. It's going to be a hard weight to carry. Because God speaks very little, really, about emotions. We're all made to be emotional beings. You know that. You're a three-part being. Mm-hmm. And so you are made to have emotions. But if you let the emotions control you, that's like the tail wagging the dog, right? So I might be having a bad day, but the Jesus inside of me, he says, obedience. Mm-hmm. Obedience. Better than sacrifice. Don't walk by your emotions. Not that you aren't to be emotional, but you can't make decisions or actions based on your emotion. And sometimes we walk in emotion. Mm-hmm. We're still believers, but sometimes we're walking in emotions.
See, the emotions are the tail, and obedience is the dog. So, is the tail wagging the dog, or is the dog wagging the tail? When we let our emotions determine our decision-making process and the choices we make, the tail is wagging the dog. Okay, the second thing we discovered, we call old man thinking. You know, the
I
old
named that
ways?
Old man thinking.
Yeah, that's not a reflection of me at all, in spite of what you may have been led to believe. Old man thinking are the things that hold us down, that chain us up, that weigh us down, the way we used to, the old habits. You know, I said earlier about the dancing and stuff. Well, as a teenager, as a young man, I developed some really bad habits. And when I got saved, when Jesus saved me, he took that burden from me. But I tended to hang on to some of that. See, I wasn't quite ready to give it all. There was a few links that I wanted to hang on to. I didn't surrender totally to him. But I knew enough to identify some of those old habits that I needed to stay away from. Because if I started to indulge them, before I knew it, I would be right back into it. Mm-hmm. And I can give you all kinds of examples. I'll give you one. I smoked for about 35 years. When I quit smoking, I was smoking 60 to 80 cigarettes a day. I was the principal of a high school, and I had an office about 10 by 10, and I had a cigarette going in there constantly. Can you imagine being a student sent to the principal's office and walking into the...
like
they were in such a hurry to get out of there that they would agree to anything I said. So. Well, when I finally quit, and I mean, I always said quitting smoking's not difficult. I've done it hundreds of times. But when I determined, well, I should say, when Jan determined that I should quit, she had a major influence in this decision making. When I agreed with her decision and set about to stop smoking, to get rid of that old habit, I had to keep saying this in my head. I'm one puff away from a pack a day. I'm one puff away from a pack a day. I knew that if I took one puff of the cigarette, within days I'd be back to a pack a day. The old habit would just come back on me. So I had to take that old habit and just get rid of it. Well, I don't need to get rid of that part of it. Sorry, sound guys. I need to get rid of that habit completely. And for me, it meant all of those old habits. Set them aside. Stay away from them. Turn away from them.
That to me.
Well, no, this was a good habit.
You know, that's a very visible thing of an old habit. But they're all the invisible things that nobody ever sees, right? The jealousy, the pride, the worldly values. You know what, church? We have to stop thinking like the world. We're in Mexico. We teach in YWAM. We teach a lot of different young people. And they don't see a big difference in the church than in their peers. Now, ding ding, something's wrong. Like we need to answer this phone that God is saying, hello church, be different. You're in the world, but you're not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the comment we get. We always get, you know what? You guys are so not religious. You guys are so not the way we think of the church. And we go, you know what? It's not about the building. It's not about a code of dress. It's not about the color of hair. It's not about how many ears you have pierced. It's not about whether you have tattoos. It is about Jesus Christ living on the inside of us, setting us free. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have tattoos. I mean, if you have them, fine. But I don't want one. And I don't have to have one, because my identity isn't in what the world says it should be. My identity is in Jesus. And He has set me free, and I'm going to stay free.
Materialism.
That's big here.
I guess because we spend time in Mexico and then time back here, we've sort of got away from that materialistic way of thinking for a period of time while we're in Mexico, but we come back to Canada and I find that I slide into it almost as easily as crossing the border. We are saturated with that attitude, that old man thinking that if I can get more, make more, save more, whatever it is, then I'm going to have success. Success, the world says. And so that pocketbook, notice I brought an empty one, that pocketbook becomes our God. We work to that. We worship that. We need to get rid of that too. That old man way of thinking.
Now, we're not saying there's anything wrong with being
absolutely
prosperous.
Not.
There's nothing wrong with being prosperous. But when you must have more, when you must do better, when you must be here because you're here, and when you can't be satisfied with God, that's the burden. That's the heavy laden. That's what crushes us. Because then we're not doing it for Jesus. We're not putting Him first. We're not.
We know many people who are financially successful by this world's standards. And they're a great blessing to us, to the church, to Christianity. And so we're not saying there's anything inherent evil in having material things. But we're saying when that becomes the driving force in your life, that's a burden. Mm-hmm. That weighs you down. That prevents you from having that freedom to walk lightly. See, for many, many years, I was a security-bound Christian. I grew up in a home where my father was security-bound, would not take any risks financially, was a very skilled woodworker, but wouldn't do that for a living because in those days it was seasonal. So he chose to work as a gas station attendant because it gave him a regular check every week. I had that way of thinking. And after 35 years in the pub, 35 years? 30 years.
30 years.
In the educational system where I had a steady paycheck every month, I had a pension plan, I had health insurance, then God said, set that aside and go to Mexico. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do that, Lord. As soon as I retire and have my pension, I'm going to do that. And He said, why are you giving me the leftovers? And I had to give that. That was hard to come and say to people, would you help me go to Mexico? Would you support me? There's a humility that comes in that. That Jesus emulates to us humility, right? That's His yoke. He says, it's light. And I want to tell you, it is light. Yeah. As hard as that has been, I have no difficulty now asking for money. So we'll take up an offering now, Andrew, for... No.
You know, any time, like the old man also thinks contrary to the word. Right? It is contrary thinking. And we have to train our minds to think according to the word. Because the world is training you to think like itself. The world is training you. You know that. You go through school, it's training you to think like education is to think. It's training you to have a different worldview. And so moms and dads, you have to deprogram those kids. You have to put in what really the true value. You know, you have to read the word, encourage the word in your spirit, grow in the word and say, okay, do I truly believe, and this is mainly for young people maybe, the word of God says, bad company corrupts good character. Do I believe that? Okay, if I believe that, how come most of my time is spent hanging around with people who are not godly? You know, we're not talking about evangelism here. There are things in the Word of God that we have just ignored. And we need to bring that in. That, because the things of God are light things. The things of the Spirit are light. They are joy, peace, mm-hmm. kindness, long-suffering, patience. There's 9 of them. Look them up in Galatians. They are light things. Those are things that lighten us. They don't weigh. Oh, these slippers are just too hot. I'm sorry. See, like
see,
walking
the burden,
by, they're right? too hot. They're too hot. That's
I was just thinking this backpack is getting awfully uncomfortable and hot too. See, the burden weighs us down, doesn't it? It weighs us down. Yeah. Number 3. Things that weigh us down. Hurts and wounds. The things of our past that hurt us and wound us. I would be willing to guess that if I asked this question and asked you to respond, there would be at least 25% of the people here would raise their hand. If I said to you, how many of you either know somebody or have experienced in yourself a hurt from the church? Right? I mean, we see people coming to churches that are wounded. They come crawling in the door. They're coming from other churches. We're not talking about unsaved people. We're talking about people who have made a commitment to the Lord, have been regular attenders, have done Bible studies, but they get hurt by the church.
You know, we carry around with us a lot of remedies, right? You know, like these things. Doug's got a big scratch. He was fixing our toilet at the lake. There was a big plug in it. And so it was a nasty thing. So he's got a hurt here. He's got a scratch. You can probably see it there. So I'll put
You're going to put it on top of the hair, though.
Yes. That's going to hurt when it takes it off. We do that, you know, and we wrap ourselves up in these other kind, like a tensor bandage. We do that for our hurts, and we try to stuff them aside. Well, I'm going to tell you something that might be a revelation to you, and you can disagree with me.
Yeah.
If you have hurts, deep hurts in your life, inflicted by parents, inflicted by family, inflicted by loved ones, inflicted by the church, those hurts don't necessarily go away when you accept Jesus. For years and years, before I did any counseling stuff, before Doug took his biblical counseling, you know what? I thought that was the truth. I thought if I just ignored them, they would go away. And they do kind of heal on the surface, you know, like a scab. But every now and again, there'd be something that would pick at that scab, and it would bleed again. And I don't have a good past. Any of you have heard my testimony? No, I don't have a good past. I grew up in a family. There was lots of drunkenness, lots of fornication, lots of adultery. I have to be careful. There's 8-year-olds here. Lots of things going on. And so there was lots of hurts in my life some abuse. And you know what? I just didn't deal with it. I didn't deal with it. I didn't deal with it. And I think that's okay for a season. You know, Jesus deals with everything when you accept him. But there came a time where I knew, you know what? If I'm going to walk free, if I'm going to walk light, I need to bring this out. I need to have the body of Christ or somebody to minister to me and let Jesus touch it. See, this isn't about a formula. This is about Jesus. This is about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, touching the deep things within us so that we can get healed. You know, the Spirit of God is doing, you've heard, there's all kinds of things happening all over the world, and there has always been a time where there's things happening all over the world with the Spirit of God. But there is something that He is going to do here. Mm-hmm. There is something that He is going to do amongst you, in this church, in this body, in this place, in Steinbach. And you know what? We have to be free. Because people are not going to want to come to us when we are as heavy laden and as burdened as they are. Mm-hmm. And the world is heavy laden. Any of you who work with people in the world, car salesmen, people, everybody, you work with people in the world. You go to school with people in the world. And they are burdened. And they are heavy laden. And they don't really see in us Jesus.
No.
They don't see the burden lifter. And this brother here told me about that. He came up to me afterwards during the offering, well, after you'd prayed. And he said, you know, he sees Jesus as the interceptor. Jesus caught that ball as the interceptor, but He passed it to us, didn't He? And that is true. We are carrying the ball for Jesus with the enabling of His Holy Spirit. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit wants to touch things deep within us. And it is no shame to bring out those things. There's no shame. There's no place here for shame. There's no place in the church for shame. You know what? If you've got something that you've been struggling with, some issue, don't be embarrassed to come forward. That is exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to cripple the church. He wants to cut us off. He wants to see us weak and debilitated. And the church is not weak and debilitated. We carry the Spirit of the living God,
The
glorious King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like, we're victorious. We know the outcome of the game.
Right. Remember, Tony sang to us Romans 8, right?
Amen. That's incredible. That was incredible.
Unbelievable. If you meditated on those words like He asked you to, and you go, no condemnation. Like, all the garbage in my life, that stuff I've been carried, is lifted off me. And I'm free. I don't have to walk in that guilt anymore. See, and the band-aids are only temporary, aren't they? Aye! And that's what happens. If I want to be healed, those of you who are doctors here, is there any doctors here? Really? No. Good. See, then I can tell lies and you won't know the difference. I don't know. No, those of you who know about the human body know that a wound scabs on the top, right? But that scab is to protect it so that it can heal from the inside out. The last part of the healing is that little scar you see, the final bit of tissue, and the inside is all healed. We need Jesus to heal us from the inside out. And we tend to put band-aids on when we're hurt instead of going to Jesus.
So we'll go to number 4 now. Number 1 was we don't walk by our feelings. Number 2 is we don't have old man thinking. Number 3 is we deal with the hurts, the wounds of the past. And number 4 is the thing that makes us heavy, probably the most significant for me, is unforgiveness and offense. That is a huge thing. Oh, this is my plant here. I have all kinds of gardeners in my family. My niece owns a greenhouse, and my mother was a landscaper. And so I've grown up with plants all of my life. And I'm Ukrainian besides, so that helps.
That explains most of it. This plant actually looks quite nice. Quite healthy, except for that dangly leaf that I broke off when I took it out of the bag. And it is. It's a fairly healthy plant. But what do you notice about it? The roots are coming out through the container, right? So those of you who garden know that this is becoming pot-bound, right? root-bound or pot-bound. That is, the roots are so entangled in the pot that they've started to come out. If I was to take this plant, take it out of the pot, and stick it in the ground, it would not develop. It would not flourish. It might stay like this. It would probably start to die off. Why? Because the roots have not had the opportunity to spread out and to go deep. When we do not forgive, what we're doing is binding up our roots, preventing them from going deep into God, preventing them from reaching out to Him, preventing the plant, us, from developing and flourishing, preventing us from being free.
You know, and I have a niece, like I said, who lives in Kenora, Ontario, and she has a big greenhouse. And I get her leftover plants before she dumps them, because there's lots that they don't sell. And she says, Aunt Jan, you have to unpot them, and then you have to take that ball of root and you have to rip the bottom off. You have to rip the bottom off so the roots can go down into the soil. And that's what God does when we forgive people. He rips off that bitter root. Because if you don't forgive people, the scripture says you can cause a bitter root. If you don't have peace with people, you can cause a bitter root to grow in your life. And you know, we all have people, I think, that we need to forgive. You might have done that, so don't do it over again. I'm not saying go back and rehash. But there are people that we have to forgive. And we have to make certain that we don't carry offense. When you carry offense, that becomes a heaviness and a burden. And even worse is if you carry offense for other people. If I carry an offense for Doug, you know, those of you who went to our marriage things all the time, you know we say carrying somebody else's offense is like picking up a mad dog by the ears. How do you ever let that dog down without getting bit? You don't. It bites you. It doesn't bite the person who you're carrying the offense for. It bites you. And that's what happens. We have to be careful not to carry offense. Not to carry offense in our marriage. Not to carry it with our brothers and sisters. Not to carry it in the church. Because what you carry out there, you bring in here. Mm-hmm. What wounds you out there brings your wound in here, because we're a body, right? And so that is our purpose. I mean, this is a very practical, basic teaching. But if the Word of God is nothing, it is practical. And to be applicable, it has to be practical. That's why we use all these things, so that you will remember, okay, fuzzy slippers, that's walking by my emotions. I'm not to walk and make decisions by emotions. Right? Chains. That's old man thinking. That will weigh us down. Right?
Right. Bandages. Hurts. Right? Plants, roots, offenses, unforgiveness. See, the scripture tells us that forgiving is not an option we have. It's a command that God gives us. And there's some scary scripture. They're up there. I'm not even going to say them. But that's out of the Bible. And lots of times we go through life going, well, Doug, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I've been hurt. It's easy for you to say, forgive. And my answer to you is, no, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But remember the emotions? We don't go by the emotion. We go out of obedience. God says forgive. We could give you example after example of people that we've been involved with who have been bitter, angry, hurtful, some of them destructive, that as we've talked through issues with them has come out something in their past where they haven't forgiven. And we said to them, you need to forgive that person. Well, they're dead. It's okay. Forgive them. Say it out loud to God. receive that healing heart. Get rid of that chain. See, unforgiveness doesn't bind the person you're not forgiving. It binds you. And you get rid of it by forgiving. And you may not feel like doing that, but you do it out of obedience, and then the emotion will come later. Then the freedom comes. Then the lightness comes. The yoke of heaviness is lifted and replaced by that yoke of Jesus, which is light.
You know, if you're a minister of the gospel, and you are, just like you said earlier, we're all worshipers, we're all the team, we're carrying the ball, we're ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And honestly, I can tell you, I have had some really heavy times. Now, I have burdens that are intercessory burdens often, and that's not to be a crushing thing. That is a different kind of burden to carry. But I have, just working with so many different people in my life, even at the young age that I am, I've worked a lot of years. And you know what? There are things that have weighed me down. And when we're on the mission field or when we're here working and things start to weigh us down, we start to lose our joy. There's a good indication. If you're coming to church because of duty, you're not coming because of the joy of the Lord, to meet with the Lord, to meet with the people of the Lord. You know what? You've got to just say, you know what, God, check out my heart. Check out my past week. Check out what is going on that has put that burden on me. Because Jesus' promise is what? Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this is taking and learning. And that's an everyday thing, to take and learn. None of us have arrived. At least we sure haven't. So none of us.
She hasn't. I'm pretty close because I'm older, right?
None of us has arrived. We're all in a process of taking and learning. And Jesus is not just showing us the way. He is the way.
Yeah.
He's not just giving us a good teaching. He is the lesson. So today, we want to encourage you. Let God search your heart. Mm-hmm. Are you walking by your emotions? Have you had some emotional up and downs? Are you walking sometimes in hurts and wounds that you've just buried? Are you walking in old man thinking? Are you walking in unforgiveness or offense? You know, let Jesus touch that. Come forward. Get somebody to pray for you. Get somebody, just deal with it on your own if you need to, but it's often better to get somebody to pray with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's pray. This morning, Lord, we want to thank you that you are the God of today and that your promises are true today as they were yesterday and last year and 2,000 years ago and forever. And so we want to apprehend this promise today, Lord, that says when we come to you, you will take our burden and you will give us a yoke that is light and easy, your burden. And so this morning, Lord, just as we focus for a few minutes, I want to ask that you'd speak to our hearts where there are issues in our lives that we have allowed to weigh us down, to prevent us from walking lightly and freely. We know you are a faithful God. We trust you, Lord, that you do not do these things to embarrass us or to hurt us. You do these things to help us and set us free. Thank you, Lord.
As we close this morning, I want to explain to us what it means to be a Christian. Perhaps you're here as a guest. Perhaps you've been here a number of times and you're not actually sure if you would call yourself a Christian, or more importantly, if God would acknowledge you as a Christian. Here's five verses that unpack it really quickly. The first one is this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need to recognize our imperfection. We need to recognize our sinfulness. And that's not just recognizing a few mistakes we've made. That's recognizing that in our heart of hearts, we are not perfect people. We are not righteous people. That in our heart of hearts, if I was to stand before God on my best day, having done all my best things, God would still have to say to me, Andrew, by yourself, I am still not satisfied, because you're a person and you're sinful. The Bible says it's a condition. We need to own up to that. And that's a very countercultural message, because our culture does not talk about that very much. The Bible says, second, that there's a consequence or a wage of this sinful condition. For a holy God who's all love, but God doesn't love everything indiscriminately. He doesn't love Hitler, Mother Teresa, and fleas in the same way, does he? He is a holy God. He loves what is only good and perfect and right and pleasing to him. And for us unholy people, he can't tolerate our sinfulness. He has to do away with it. The Bible is so clear that the wages of sin is death. Death, of course, is already setting into our bodies, aches and pains, and everyone here will have a funeral one day. But the Bible says and the Bible says as well that there's an eternal death in hell. But the gift of God is Jesus. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't have to go to hell. The Bible speaks so clearly as well about heaven by believing in Christ. Let's go to the next one. God demonstrates his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. The Bible says the death of Christ wasn't just the killing of a nice teacher or a moral hippie with limp-wristed sort of, you know, prancing around Galilee saying nice things. No, Christ was the Son of God who died and took the punishment that I deserved and that you deserved. The punishment. He stood and died in my place. And if I believe that and say, God, I believe in your Son, I want him to take that punishment for me. I want you to apply that punishment to me. And simply put, if we believe those things or grasp them in whatever degree we can and say, you know, I'm not sure, I have questions about this. You know, what about evolution? What about... Listen, those are secondary issues. The issue is Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask, have you believed in, or like they used to say in the old translations, I like it, have you believed on Jesus Christ? If you haven't this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to express that infant small belief with a prayer. You can pray this prayer and not believe, and you can believe. And you don't have to pray this prayer, but I do just want to say, if you're trying to give vent to something that you want to express out of your heart today, there's a prayer that I'm going to invite all of us to pray it together. And it's just the first step. The Christian life is more than one prayer. But maybe this morning you've come saying, I have to get right with God. I must reconcile to God. How can I be a Christian? How can I know I'm going to heaven? How can I know I'm forgiven? And the answer is by simply believing and trusting. Christ settled it once and for all. Why don't we pray together in an out loud voice? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You hear every prayer. You see every heart. God, it's not just about saying sorry. It's about living a new life with the grace and help of your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to follow you this week as you prompt us to respond to your nudges in conversations, in attitudes, in visible and invisible actions, thoughts, motives, etc. We want to please you and live like you, live in you. And I thank you that you live in us and enable us to do these things. I pray you keep us safe this week. And I pray you keep the Burundi team safe. And I pray next weekend as we come together, we would be more and more and more like Christ, and it would spill out of this building all over this region. Lord, by your grace, all over southern Manitoba, by your grace, take us wherever you want us to go. Here we are. Send us. Thank you for our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.